Hey, it's Monday, September 10th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old.
Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
Guess what?
What?
It's September.
It is September.
Do you know what September means? September means training camp. Mm-hmm. September means rosters. September means preseason games. It means little baby rookies who were just trying to shoot their shot. And it means that hockey is almost here.
It is right around the corner. It's so close, I can almost smell it.
I have a hand on my heart right now.
Mm-hmm. We already have leaves like all over the ground here in Edmonton. So yeah, it feels like hockey season.
Yeah, see, it was like 90 degrees here this past week. And I got to say, right now, like we just had a cold front move in. So it is like, you know, in the low 60s and raining and miserable. But last week was still, it was like 90s. It was disgusting.
Oh,
we've
had frost warnings and stuff. So
no, yeah. See, that's because you live in Canada, the Great White North. Mm-hmm. Far, far away from me.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's the summer's winding down. Things are starting to heat up. We're starting to get some news. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. You see people on ice. You see all sorts of good stuff. We just had the NHL media weekend where the players do all sorts of ridiculous things, which we will see all year long on the NHL network.
Promo shots.
Dumb interviews. I don't know. There was a snake involved at one point.
What?
Those poor hockey boys.
Oh,
they do only take like one or two players from each team or two players from each team. So they're not all subjected to that. But I guess it is kind of an honor if you're the one picked for NHL media.
I guess. Events. I wonder how they decide that. Does the NHL network get to ask and decide? Or is the team that says, here, I offer these victims?
Yeah, like that's a good question because I'm thinking like who I saw specifically. So I saw John Tavares and Austin Matthews for Toronto. I saw Jack Eichel. Trying to see just some of the clips. I saw it was Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin who have done it in tandem for the past couple years. I'm trying to think of names, just like flipping through Instagram because NBC NHL Sports Instagram had a bunch of stuff and just NHL Network did as well. And some of the individual teams. I know TJ Oshie was there for the Alexander Ovechkin was not, but I did see TJ Oshie was the only Caps I think I remember seeing Instagram about. So yeah, that's a good question. I wonder how. And if our listeners know, please do tell. Let us in on the secret. How do you get invited to the party?
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to go.
Or do you get shoved forward by your team? If you piss off the wrong person.
That's right. So sorry. Your vacation's over early. You need to go put on a suit and make nice with all the NHL people. And they did have this really interesting setup. I guess they do little promo vids for whatever they do, especially on NHL TV, like in between games and whatnot, you know, where you have a player dramatically skate towards the camera, you know, do a little icing there. And the setup that they did, they showed you sort of how the sausage was being made. So the cameras, it was almost like a 360 degree, like a whole circle of cameras. Mm-hmm. And the players had to crawl underneath the circle to get onto the ice. So it was very funny. There was lots of clips of or on Instagram of players crawling on their hands and knees to get under the cameras to get on the ice to do their thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny. So yeah, so that was kind of exciting. But there's also, you know, there was a little, it wasn't a super exciting summer because everybody was on, first of all, there's the John Tavares watch, which thankfully that got settled. We know JT.
That long international nightmare is over.
Oh my God, thank God. And then it was, you know, Erik Karlsson. Everybody was like, where's Erik Karlsson going to go? Erik Karlsson's still in Ottawa.
Who knows?
Yeah. Nothing's happening there.
Yep. Met.
Yep. So, yeah, so that was like everybody was kind of on pins and needles for that. So I guess like the biggest, well, yeah, there was a couple big signings too, you know, players that kind of got locked in. Blake Wheeler re-signed with Winnipeg, which was nice because he's such a nice hockey guy.
He is. He's a good guy.
I just want him to
succeed because he's just a good guy. He just seems so happy to be signing again with that team. Because, I mean, he's been there the entire time since they moved up from Atlanta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which so I hadn't realized before I saw an interview with him just a few days ago. And I was like, somehow that had never sunk in before. So good for him.
Now, the only reason I knew that is because there's, and I said this on our member Slack channel, like, has there ever been an article about any signing that somehow or other does not mention either Peter Chiarelli or the Boston Bruins trading away somebody who is now super successful?
Well, I feel like that's the go-to example. So if you don't have that in your article, probably your editor's just going to send it right back to you and be like, just, I'm picturing somebody tapping it with a finger and going, Boston?
You didn't mention Boston. You mm-hmm. know that Blake Wheeler was traded from Boston to Atlanta and is now the yeah. captain of the Winnipeg Jets. So yeah, so that was good. And then we had, so now I guess the big news has been the Tyler Seguin. Is he going to sign? Is he not going to sign because he is an unrestricted free agent? Is he playing the Tavares game and waiting and going to wait all of his options? I don't know. He was at the BioSteel camp a couple weeks. Or was it last week? Maybe I think that wrapped up. Connor McDavid was there, and they do this every summer, which is a training camp, but they do a little mini tournament at the end. And there's lots of press that goes up there. Actually, NHL satellite radio, Sirius XM, goes up and broadcasts live from BioSteel camp in Toronto. And apparently Tyler was saying that he was really disappointed that he had thought things would have been settled by now. And so that's shots fired. Mm-hmm. When you have a player saying he's disappointed in your organization, that was a little bit of a power move there.
A strong word.
Yeah, so I think from what I hear, there's discussions happening now. But then you have Matt Duchene, also in Ottawa, mm-hmm. who's going to be a unrestricted free agent next year. And he's kind of playing a little bit of a wait-and-see game as well to see what's going on with Carlson.
These guys are masters of their own destiny. And it's interesting to look at it now that, I mean, not that all of them are UFAs are all of those guys, is this their first year of unrestrictedness?
Yes, it is their first year of unrestrictedness. Yes. So mm-hmm. it's like the John Tavares deal was, you either, like, do you stay with the team that you're with and get an extension because you were eligible as of July 1st, you were eligible for an extension. And, or do you shop around? And if that case, mm-hmm. does your team trade you in order to get some value for you now rather than letting you walk away like John Tavares walked away from the Islanders? So I think players feel a little bit more empowered now that they watch John Tavares go through that. Mm-hmm. And maybe owners are feeling a little bit more skittish having watched the Islanders go through that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So yeah. I think it is
a business, and that is, it's all well and good to talk about loyalty to a team. And, you know, as happy as I was that Blake Wheeler ended up staying with the Winnipeg Jets, the team that he's been with all along, like, even if he hadn't, I would not have shaken my head at him at all, nor would I at any of these guys if they opt to go elsewhere, because, you know, as much as the team wants their players to do well, the team wants their players to do well. It is a business mm-hmm. for them. It is not a great big family, much as we would all as fans love to believe that it is. It's not.
It really isn't. And you think that it's really, players have such a small amount of time to work as a hockey player. I mean, not every player makes it to Jaromir Jagr years. That's pretty unusual. Yeah. Most of them retire in their 30s. Some of them have to retire earlier due to injury. So you just don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. you're thinking, I'll take a 9-year extension, but you could blow out your knee next year and your career is over with. And sure, you'll still be getting a portion of your salary, but you're not going to, it's done. You're at that point, you're finished.
Yep.
So
find your backup career because it's time.
Yep. Exactly. So I have to give players a lot of respect for looking out for their own future, because mm-hmm. a team wouldn't hesitate to trade you if you weren't producing. Do you know what I mean? Like, the loyalty only goes so far. So yeah, so we'll wait and see what's happening with that. Sagan's camp said the Dallas Stars had hoped that something would be done by training camp. Matt Duchene said he's kind of waiting to see what's going on. He hasn't been thinking about it. He just wants to play good hockey. But, you know, Matt Duchene, I don't know. I was feeling so sympathetic for him with the Colorado Avalanche and just mm-hmm. at the time, but now I'm like, maybe you were kind of a little bit of an issue there. You were kind of really miserable there towards the end, and then you left and they started playing really well.
Yeah, funny how that happened.
How that works.
And I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that he is a bad seed, but it also doesn't mean he's not.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't
who knows?
Mean he's not. So, and Ottawa's just still a dumpster fire. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Ottawa fans. I really am.
Yeah.
If you were a fan of that team, like you have a terrible owner, you have terrible management. They're just a mess. But there's also another thing that's been really interesting to me this summer, because this is my jam. Like this contract stuff, like, oh, you can tell, right? You can tell.
It's Deb's hockey happy place.
It's my hockey happy place is all of the big name restricted free agents who were eligible for extensions this summer who didn't get them yet.
Yet. Yeah. And these are the guys who can't shop around because they are still restricted to the team that holds their contract.
Right. And as of July 1st of this year, they even though they're not going to be restricted free agents until next July, they are eligible this year for their team to extend their contracts. As we saw with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl last year, they got big paychecks.
Yes, they did.
Big commitments. So we don't have Patrick Laine yet, nor Austin Matthews, nor Mitch Marner
I am locked up. Just absolutely gobsmacked about Matthews. Like, I mean, yeah, the rest of them, but just living here in Canada, which is, you know, the entire country is a Maple Leafs media area, I am sorry to say. I have had Austin Matthews just shoved down my throat nonstop for so long that I just the very idea that they don't have him locked up and in his contract yet just goes against everything that I have been seeing for the last couple of years. And I'm trying not to do the Schadenfreude giggle 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 behind my hands sort of thing, but just I've just gotten so sick of the media falling all over themselves to talk about how he's the greatest player, because he's not. And like I want him to succeed. He seems like a nice kid, and I want him to do well. But after the media frenzy blowout nonsense that I have had to endure, it just seems kind of ridiculous that here we are, and things are not where 99.999% of the talking heads in Canada would have said a couple of years ago.
Well, I think honestly that John Tavares signing kind of really threw a monkey wrench into.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure it was a contingency plan. Once they realized that they had a shot at Tavares, I'm sure they went back to ground zero and tried to shuffle everything. But I think it's a little bit, in my opinion, like I'm gonna talk like a dude fan, okay? Because dude fans talk in absolutes, right?
Oh, God, yes, they do, which is why I don't listen to much hockey podcast/radio.
I was listening to somebody the other day in a podcast, and they were like, you know, would you do this for that? No. You know, let's not get rid of this guy. I wouldn't do that. Like, I'm not going to get rid of this person. I'm going to put this person here. I'm like, no, you're not. You're like Joe Fan sitting in your basement in your underwear right now. You're not doing anything. You don't have ownership of these players. You could say what I would do, not like I'm not going to. So anyway, that's a whole nother tangent. So, but I'm going to talk right now like a dude. I'm going to talk like a guy. So here's what my thought is. What they did, this is a whole cascade effect, right? So they got John Tavares in the room. They're paying him big money. It was 11-something million. Long contract extension. So now they're up against some cap space. Kyle Dubas, the general manager, says, we can make this work because we have to sign Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, and William Nylander to keep that young core together, right?
Yep.
But who's going to blink first? Because William Nylander, the burr under the saddle, he is an RFA this year. He's the first one. They need to sign him to a contract this year, not an extension, a contract. They have not done so yet. Now, he had some really good numbers, right? So you got to think, who's going to blink first? Because everybody's looking at all these contracts going around. You know Austin Matthews is looking at Connor McDavid's contract. You know Mitch Marner's looking at Leon Draisaitl's contract. And they're thinking, all right, this is what the market's going to bear. Like, where do you put me between Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. where am I in that conversation? So all these players are doing that. So you have to think they have to get Nylander signed. And they're probably not. It's like, which piece is going to fit there first, and who's going to have the most power once that piece is fit? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if Nylander signs for X amount of dollars, that's going to affect how these other players come to the table and say, well, this is how much I want now. And are the Leafs going to be able to manage all of that overhead? Because it's going to be a lot of money tied up in a few amount of players.
Yep.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I have to say you totally failed at talking like a dude, though.
I did. I know I can't do it. I just can't. This is what I'm thinking. Not what I know. Oh, I got to work on it. I got to be like, take more possession of these people.
Yeah, and be more accusatory. And yeah.
Tell me
how they've been doing things wrong, and how they should have done this and not that. And how this guy should do that.
What they need to do is this.
Yeah,
right?
There you
go. What they need to do is get Nylander signed, because clutching pearls time. Even though a player can, I looked this up, they can play without a contract. A restricted free agent can play without a contract, I believe, until December. Mm-hmm. After December, no longer allowed on the ice without a contract. Do you show up to training camp and say, all right, I'll play till we figure this out? Or do you say, you can't get this done, I'm not coming? Mm-hmm. I.e. Mr. Darnell Nurse of the Edmonton Oilers, your mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah.
Who has said he's also one of the handful of RFAs who have not yet been signed, who have mm-hmm. to have a contract this year or be traded or something. Mm-hmm. And he said last week, I'm not coming to camp until it's done. Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I don't blame him. Like, I don't know that I would play for a team that I didn't have a contract with yet. Like,
he could get injured. I mean, something could happen mm-hmm. in training camp.
It goes right back to the thing we were talking about, the unrestricted free agents. Like, I really feel like they need to look out for themselves, because it's a business. And, you know, it's all well and good to do some things out of the goodness of your heart. But that's like adopting a puppy, or you know, being a foster mm-hmm. kitty mom,
do some
or
volunteer
something.
Time at
yeah,
a homeless
right?
shelter.
Yep. I don't know that I would put my like you said, injury, body on the line, possibly the rest of my career on the line without a contract. That just seems really foolish to me, especially considering how fast the game goes these days.
Yeah, really.
And yeah, it's too much. However, I can say that I am not super plugged into Edmonton Oilers fandom, like online, because it has a tendency to get real toxic. Canadian fandom is like that. It sucks. And Edmonton is, I think, not the worst city for it from what I've heard, but it's up there. And so I kind of try to stay away, because I don't want to get sucked into that cesspool. But from what I understand, and I do still pretty regularly listen to the Oilers YYC podcast, which is actually out of Calgary, so it gives you a very interesting sort of take on the Oilers and how they're doing. But and those guys are way more plugged into sort of what the feeling is, even though they're down in Calgary. But yeah, from what they were saying, this is sort of the little bit that I have gathered as well, is that people don't seem terribly worried about the Darnell Nurse thing. Like, people were freaking out last year before McDavid and Draisaitl got signed, like, especially before Draisaitl got signed. Like, people were just tearing out their hair and gnashing their teeth and clutching their pearls and all of this stuff. And none of that is happening this year. They're just like, yeah, we're going to get it done. And I think everybody just feels like, yeah, we're going to get it done. So, I mean, maybe that's foolish, but I don't know. I feel like, to me, I'm not going to waste a bunch of energy worrying about it, because I have zero control over it. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I do hope they get him signed. I think he has a lot of potential as a player. He's growing. He's gotten a lot better just in the years that he's been around in the NHL. But he's not one of the players that I would really cry personally if they lost him. He's a good guy. I hope he does well, but yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a local connection here in Philadelphia, because his uncle is Donovan McNabb.
Yes.
Who was Philadelphia Eagles quarterback for several years.
That is correct.
I kind of keep a weather eye on him. You know, he's got a local connection. Yep. But yeah, I flip through Cap Friendly, which if you are like me and spreadsheets are bring you joy and you like to know all of these inside mechanical things, Cap Friendly is chef's kiss. Just a wonderful place to go. And I flip through all 31 teams to see how many teams have unsigned RFAs currently. And literally it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 teams out of 31. Wow. Yeah. So Nylander in Toronto, Nurse in Edmonton, and Shea Theodore in Vegas are the bigger names. Sam Reinhart in Buffalo, obviously. And then New Jersey has Miles Wood, Jordan Schmaltz in St. Louis, Joshua Morrissey in Winnipeg, and Nick Ritchie in Anaheim. I don't even know who Nick Ritchie is. So, yeah. So these are players that need contracts or something. Something's got to move with them before training camp starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, considering in Edmonton that we just lost Andre Sekera, who I like. He's one of my guys that I just love so much, and he has, I think it's like a torn ACL or something like that, or Achilles tendon. Anyway, whatever it is, it's going to keep him out indefinitely. People are saying possibly the entire season, and that just like so with him off the roster, which heartbreaking. They need Darnell Nurse. They need as much strength on the defense as they can possibly get. So I don't think anybody really has any doubt that they're going to get him signed. They just haven't done it yet. And you know, I say bully for him if he doesn't want to show up until he's got his contract in place. Good for you, kid.
That's right. Play hardball. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, he comes from a family of professional athletes. I'm sure he's getting.
Oh my God, his family advice. So talented that yeah. Yep.
What is his sister plays for the WNBA? He's a cousin who just got drafted for one of the women's hockey leagues. So yeah, a very talented family. Okay. Yep. There was also a little bit of controversy. I'm sure this is old news by now, but we really didn't get a chance to talk about it with Nate Schmidt failing a drug test and being suspended for 20 games at the start of the season.
Oof. That's so much.
It is.
Like that's a lot. And they haven't, at least last I checked, I haven't looked recently. They hadn't even, you know, announced what the substance was, but the amount was super, super tiny. And he, you know, is denying it up and down that he had any knowledge of this at all. And, you know, when you think about somebody on the ice makes a direct contact, direct hit with another player's head, they might get suspended for a game or two. That's like intent to injure. Somebody's career could be ended by that, and they're out for a game, maybe two. And here's a guy who had, I think it was something like 7 grains of sand, the equivalent of in an Olympic-sized swimming pool or something like that. Like the amount of whatever it was that was in his blood was super, super tiny. And he may or may not have even known about it. And he gets 20 games? How is that right?
Well, you know, the game, there is a zero tolerance policy. Zero tolerance policy as was negotiated in the CBA.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have to admire that because doping is a huge issue, as we saw in the Russian games this year. But you also have to, I mean, for me, I guess and maybe it's none of my business, but I kind of wish I knew what the substance was.
I know.
Because there's things that you can think, okay, that was accidental or it was exposure. And he had all kinds of witnesses that come in and said, you know, this is how he could have been exposed to this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of players are like, you know, you have to be careful. What if you eat tainted meat that have a hormone or have something in it? You know, is that going to stay in your bloodstream depending on when? So, I mean, most athletes most players have come out really in support of him because they're like, of all the guys, like, not this guy, because he just has such a good reputation. But you have to, what upsets me is this will be hanging over his head forever. This will always be a footnote in his file. When you look back at his record, this will be something that always, much like Boston and trading away everybody, this will always be attached to his name now. And furthermore, and I've seen this already because hockey fans are the worst, even as they are often the best. Sometimes they are the worst. calling into question the entire Vegas Golden Knights season.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Because let's face it, everybody thought this team was going to crash and burn, and they did not. They excelled. So now everybody's like, well,
conspiracy theories.
How they were so good with all these mediocre players. Obviously, they were all, you know, they were all doping. So, and I've seen that hot take. Now, they, you know, these testings aren't, they're random. They happen all the time. So it's not like you're going to, we will test you on June 30th of 2017, and then we will test you again on June 30th, 2018. Like, no, it, players are tested all the time. So, and it's completely random. So you have no idea it's coming. You can't prep for it. So, but that's, that is also going to taint this like really magical season that they had, you know, because they really did have a fantastic Cinderella run for the cup against all odds. And now you have this sort of black cloud hanging over them. And I really, I feel badly for everybody on that team because of this. It just, there's no winners here. There really is no winners. There was nothing that that was in his system that was performance enhancing. Like he did not have enough to enhance anything. So I don't know. I feel badly. The intent of the ruling, I understand, because you don't want to let that into your sport.
Yep.
But if there is a chance that you could be exposed to something environmentally, I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sad. Sigh. And he's such like this goofy, happy guy, you know? Well, anyway. The other exciting things that happened this summer. Toronto. I know you just had this whole rant about Toronto, and I don't live in Canada, so like I'm not exposed to it as much, but honestly, I get it, because when the whole John Tavares thing was happening, I wanted to stick a fork in every hockey commentator's face, because it was Toronto, 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 Toronto. I mean, they started talking about John Tavares in Toronto as soon as there was a whiff of John Tavares even thinking about going anyplace else, and just shut up already. And then they turned around and they tried to make me like them again. Not that I have anything against the team, because they are, they're fun to watch. But the media is insane.
It
but
is.
Then Kyle Dubas. He goes and
I don't want to hold the media against the team. It's just hard not to. That's
it,
all. It's,
I can see. I can, and I get that, because I listen to Hockey Central at noon, and like, can I just skip the first 20 minutes where all you do is talk about the Leafs and like get to every other, you know, every other team in the league that might have done something that week or that day? It's every single day. But yeah, they went out. Kyle Dubas hired Haley Wickenhauser as the assistant director of player development, who is the first woman to hold that position in the NHL.
And I mean, she's like a beloved household name in Canada. So this is a really cool, really good, smart move on their part.
It really was. And then, which I thought was even more interesting, was they hired Noel Needham as an amateur scout. And why I thought this was interesting was they hired their scouts using blind data. Which just means everybody submitted reports. They looked at the reports and said, hey, this, you know, here's the people that we think are doing the best reports. No names attached, nothing. And they picked those, and that's who they hired. And Noel was one of them. And so much research has shown and demonstrated the prejudice that comes against women, minorities. Like, names have power, and often that affects somebody's perception. So the fact that they recognized that and did blind analysis was super cool.
And from what I heard, like, hers was like head and shoulders above. Like, it wasn't just like a little bit better, but quite a bit, from what I heard.
Right. So, like, you know, talk about putting your money where your mouth is. And there's the quote. There's this really good quote that he had. And I read this and I'm like, damn it. back to rooting for Toronto. They had that great first year with Austin Matthews and everybody. And now, like last year, I kind of was like, oh, I'm so tired of hearing about Toronto. And now, oh, they're making me like them again. They're pulling me back in. I thought I was out. So the quote from Kyle Dubas was, research shows that the more diverse your organization, the better your decision-making, the better your operations in general, he said. If you're only hiring white males, and I'm saying this as a white male, you're probably leaving a lot on the table in terms of where your organization can go and how it can think and how it can evolve and develop.
Oh, why? Why would you say something so amazing and wonderful and like, God, I don't want to like you, but how can I not?
How can you not? That is like, that is so incredibly woke. And there was, we were talking about it on our hockey Slack, like our just friend Slack of hockey. And Stephen, your husband, it said he was so pleased that this was Toronto that made these moves.
Yes.
Because they are hockey establishment. Original Six, they are in Canada, they are hockey. You know, as you said with the media, it's Toronto first, everybody else afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it was that club making these moves has so much more impact than, say, an Arizona or some other expansion. Can you imagine the Hurricanes? Who would care if it was the Hurricanes?
Right. Like, I mean, it would still be great on any team, but it would be very easy for the hockey establishment to just sort of write it off and be like, oh, it's one of these newfangled expansion teams. They're just doing their newfangled thing.
They got to do what they got to do to build their audience down there in the Sun Belt or something ridiculous.
Yep, exactly. But no, it is. It's the Maple Leafs. They've been around forever. They get the most coverage. So they are, you're right, the hockey establishment taking steps like this, Stephen's right. That's a great, great thing.
Toronto, though. Erica, it's Toronto.
I know. I'm so torn.
I know. I mean, I really enjoy watching them play. It's just all the stuff surrounding it. Oof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's a question.
I should try to be better about, like, you know, they're good little hockey boys for the most part. I shouldn't hold the media against them.
All right, so we all have our own biases that we're bringing to the table here. Let's recognize them, try to be better people, and move on.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. All right, so can you tell me what an assistant director of player development actually does?
It helps directing development of players. I don't actually know.
I don't either. So many people get hired as, you know, player development people. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, is that just the position they put ex-players in because they want to hire them for something? And it's sort of like the entry level into hockey? I don't know. Because you see a lot of retired players move into that position. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to do some research on that.
Yeah.
Player development. All right. Well, that's all I had for things that were making me think over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Mostly, actually, you know, we should also mention the other thing we did this summer was for members of the Incomparable. We did actually not one but two members only specials this summer reviewing hockey movies. We had Lisa Schmeiser come back to do the sequel to Goon 2. And we also got our Doctor Who podcast co-host, Liz Miles, to come on and talk about a hockey movie. We watched The Mighty Ducks, which, as I think we've said on the podcast, neither one of us had seen before, and neither had Liz. So, yeah. So if you are an Incomparable member and you have not already checked your First Class Lounge feed, be sure that you do that because it's a good time over there.
Oh, so much fun with Liz. Being from the UK, not being a sports fan, let alone a hockey fan, it was very fun talking to her. She turned into quite the Mighty Duck apologist.
She did. It was
by
hilarious.
The end of it. It really was. It was very good. So, yes, that was fun because, you know, we still like to talk about hockey in the summertime, even if it's nothing really happening.
Yep.
All right. So we're entering into the real deal. The Flyers training camp starts on Friday. I will be there Friday morning, as I have been the past several years, watching all the new little babies on the ice. We have James Van Riemsdyk. It'll be very exciting to see him play. See, Carter Hart is making his NHL the jump from juniors to NHL. Yeah, I mean, he'll probably spend a year in Lehigh with the Phantoms just because, you know.
Which is fine. That's good for him.
I don't want to rush a goalie. Like, I really feel that they need a little more time to cook before they can step onto the big ice. So, but it's always fun to watch him at training camp. We have the rookie games coming up. I have a hockey trip planned to come see you.
I know. I'm so excited.
It is.
So we're going to watch some hockey.
We are going to watch two hockey games. So we're flying out in November through a very convoluted flight schedule because it's not easy to get to Edmonton from Philadelphia.
Nope.
Really isn't. And we will be going to Calgary to see Calgary and
the Oilers.
And the Oilers play, which will be fun. And then watch the Oilers play Vegas the next night.
At home.
At home in Rogers Place. I get to see Rogers Place. It'll be so exciting.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. So live podcast. What do you think? Carcast on the way to Calgary?
Yeah. Oh, we should totally do a carcast.
Totally do a carcast. Yeah. So expect some quality hockey content from live hockey games. But let's talk about what we're hoping to see in the coming season. Maybe from our teams or other teams that have caught your eye. What are you hoping for with the Oilers? Like if you just, I mean, don't cop out and say a cup win. Like what?
No,
let's
God,
dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Wait. What do you want to see?
Do I want to see a cup win? Yes, let's just get that on the table, of course. But I don't feel like that's realistic at this point. What I want to see is them to bounce back from where they were last year because they just did not perform the way they were expected to. And I would like some assurance that they have not let that get into their head too much. I mean, it would be hard to do worse than they did last year, but it's certainly possible. So I want to make sure that that doesn't happen. I would like to see them sort of become more cohesive and come together as a unit. I kind of felt like last year there were a lot of guys on the ice, mostly trying their best, but they weren't working as a unit. And I want to see that change. So regardless of like exactly where they finish in the standings and even regardless of whether they make the playoffs again or not, I just want to see them working together better. And, you know, I would love for them to make the playoffs, but even if they don't, as long as I see some more cohesion, that's the thing that I want the most.
Good. That's a good thing to wish for. Yeah, they were kind of all over the place last year.
Yeah, they really were.
A lot of really good individual players.
And that's the thing. Like when you have clicking, such raw talent in, you know, separate packages, like you need to be able to put those together and have them work together. And, you know, I would also like special teams to improve because their power play and penalty kill were pretty poop. And they've taken some steps, you know, in the coaching to, I think, address that. Some of the coaching changes that they've made, I think, were directly to affect special teams. And I'm hoping that works.
All right. So what about any other teams? Any other things, teams that have caught your eye over the summer, making some good moves or somebody, you know, kind of rooting for? Secondary boyfriends, you know how that goes.
I think the Jets are sort of still my backup boyfriends. They that team it's such a small market and they are, the city is so passionate about their team and I love it. And, you know, like we were talking about Blake Wheeler being such like a good guy. I want that good guy to succeed. I would like to see the Jets do well. You know, I would like them to lose every time they play Edmonton, but other than that, I would like them to win and do well because I just feel like they're kind of underdogs in terms of the coverage that they get in the media, which is very little, and the, you know, size of their market. I feel like they're the little engine that could.
All right. Very interesting. All right. So the Flyers, I mean, it always comes down to goalies. Oh my God. We need to cement that in. And I just don't have a whole lot of optimism for this year because we still have Michael Neuwirth, who is literally made of glass. I know. And then Brian Elliott, who...
yeesh.
Yeah, yeesh is a good word. I mean, we have a lot of talent. Like, every report that I have read over the summer, you know, has the Flyers farm system as being super strong, super, super strong. And we do have so many really talented kids in the pipeline. You know, we have some good goalies down there too, but you know, nobody's quite ready to make that leap.
Don't do it too soon. Take it from an Oilers fan. Let him cook.
Well, you know, I really had hope for Anthony Stolarz, but he had an injury last year that kind of knocked him out for the majority of the year. So, you know, that puts a big question mark over his head. So, you know, the goalie situation is always fraught, you know, until Carter's ready. it's going to be
Carter Hart is the great hope for the future of the Flyers.
He's like the goalie Jesus out here mm-hmm. in Philadelphia. But we have so many kids are on the cusp of making that next leap. And it's so exciting. It is so exciting to watch them play and to, you know, who is going to make the team. Because we're just, it's an embarrassment of riches, honestly, to see mm-hmm. who's gonna take that step. So I'm really excited to see just what's happening. It feels like we're a team on the upswing. Do you know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. definitely, there's years where that's not been the case. And there's definitely teams out there that is definitely not the case. But mm-hmm. we really feel, there's a very palpable sense that we're on the upswing. A couple other teams I'm pretty excited about. Buffalo, my underdog teams, my two underdog mm-hmm. teams, Buffalo and Arizona. Now, Arizona did manage to turn it around a little bit towards the end of the year, and their record was much improved. But, you know, they've made some interesting moves. They have Alex Galchenyuk got traded down from Montreal. Like, thank God. Talk about another toxic situation. What is it with, like, these two Canadian teams that aren't that far apart from each other just have crap management, you know? He's down in Arizona now. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's been locked up. Hopefully Dylan Strome can stay up there. Like, I'm really rooting for that kid. Mm-hmm. Like, just really want him to stick on the roster. So I'm hoping to see them continue their upward trajectory that we had at the end of last year, because they're just a nice team. You know, mm-hmm. they've got a terrible stadium, a terrible arena rather. And, you know, it's in the middle of Arizona. So they've mm-hmm. just got a lot going against them.
I would like to root for them more, except they're in our division. So I won't be sad if they do better. I just still want them to lose every time they play the Oilers.
Okay, well, that's a decent caveat. I can live with that. All right.
Yep.
So Buffalo too. Buffalo made some great moves offseason. We're finally starting to see a little of that Botterill magic, you know. So he got Connor Sherry from the Penguins, which I thought was interesting. He went for that. We have Jeff Skinner up there playing. He's going to be on Eichel's wing. That's going to be exciting to see. So I really feel like last year, maybe it was too much to hope for that it would be a wild turnaround. But they got the number one draft pick, Rasmus Dahlin. They have Casey mm-hmm. Mittelstadt waiting in the wings, who I was at the game for his NHL debut. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I have a good feeling about Buffalo this year, because, God, did they suck last year. That was honestly the most depressing live hockey experience of my life. There was a pall over the building. It was so sad. It was just a team of determined but sad fans. Just their whole, or I should say, it was an arena filled with determined yet sad fans. They were still there. Mm-hmm. They were still there.
Good for them.
They were sad. And of course, we have got my backup boyfriend, Dallas, who brought Val Nikushkin back from the KHL. They lured him back. Which I think probably had a little bit to do with having more Russians on the team. Because when he played, he was the only one. There was a language issue. I think he probably felt very rough. It's got to be rough. You know, you're a young player, a young guy, feeling pretty isolated. But now there's a couple more Russians on the team. So there's a community there. So I think that probably worked in his favor. I think having a new coach worked in that favor. They have Miro Heiskanen, who's probably going to make the roster this year, who's pretty exciting to watch. So, again, high hopes for Dallas. I had high hopes for them last year, too. And they kind of crashed spectacularly at the end. Oh, my gosh. It was like it was watching a train wreck happen in front of your eyes as they lost game after game after game in the waning days. So, those are kind of the teams. And I think they were sort of the teams I had my eyes on last year, too. Like, there's nobody new that's mm-hmm. crept in there, but damn it, Toronto, you're trying.
Except for Toronto, maybe.
For Toronto. But, you know, I've always kind of flirted with Toronto a little bit just because they were fun. They were fun mm-hmm. to watch play. They were just so, they didn't know they shouldn't like hockey yet.
Right. Like, they were actually trying as hard as they could and having fun.
The fun,
Hadn't been beaten out of them yet. We'll see how that goes this year.
Yeah, because it'll be the third year of that young core together. We'll see mm-hmm. how it goes. All right, so we had, I went in to all of our listeners, send us emails. Thank you so much. I do have to say that with our summer hiatus, we also had a slight email hiatus. So I went in there this week and kind of cleaned everything up and answered a bunch of emails. And my gosh, thank you so much. And yay, Jennifer, on writing your book. But we had a listener request from Buffy. I'm not going to say last names because that's
right.
You know, I don't want to mm-hmm. push anybody
don't
out there.
Don't doubt anybody.
Yes. Who asked if we could explain how buyouts work. And I think that would be a great What the Puck segment. What do you think, Erica?
That sounds like a fantastic idea. It's time for What the Puck. Hockey things that everybody knows, but we all had to learn it sometime.
Yes, yes, we did. All right, so buyouts are a tool. Let's put it that way. They're basically, again, this was negotiated in the latest collective bargaining agreement, and it's a tool that teams can use to buy out a contract to reduce their cap hit. Because you hear people talk about this all the time. We live in the cap era, where mm-hmm. the teams only have so much money to spend. So if you have a player who perhaps isn't as productive as you had once hoped, who was signed a very large contract at some point, he's taken up a lot of space on your cap. You don't necessarily want to pay him all that money. You want to free a little bit of money up. You are allowed to buy him out. So in order to buy, there's a formula for buying a player out. So if a player is, I believe, under the age of 26 at the time of the buyout, you can pay them one third of their remaining contract value. And that is extended over what they do is they spread that out over twice the remaining contract years, I think, is how the formula works. Mm-hmm. So if you were making $3 million and you're under the age of 26, $3 million for 5 years, they can now pay you $1 million a year for 10 years or however that works. If a player is over the age of 26 at the time of the buyout, they have to pay you two-thirds of the remaining contract value. And I guess the thought is a 26-year-old has a better chance of continuing a career than under 26 than an older player. Because usually buyouts happen when a player's in their 30s or they're older. Mm-hmm. So it's simply a tool that is used in order to reduce the cap hit. Now, this kind of came up a little bit because this summer, Bruce Orpik from the Washington Capitals was traded to the Colorado Avalanche. Now, I believe I don't know how many years he had, but his contract was like $4.5 million. And again, it's a team that wanted to retain its core, wanted to retain some of its key players. They knew they were going to have to pay big because they just won a Stanley Cup. They needed to clear that money off the books. So they traded Orpik along with their backup goalie, Grubauer, to Colorado Avalanche, which great move for Colorado for that goalie because they really do. He was a great goalie. He got them into the playoffs when Braden Holtby sort of had a really rough stretch at the end of their season. Now, Braden Holtby obviously came back and did really, really well in the playoffs, but they wouldn't have been in the playoffs if it wasn't for Grubauer. So it was a really great get for Colorado, but part of the deal was they took Orpik. Well, within a matter of days, they entered into a process to buy Orpik out of his contract, which they did. Then the Washington Capitals turned around and re-signed Orpik for $1 million a year as opposed to $4.5 million a year plus like $500,000 signing bonus. So here they're getting their player back, only paying like less than a third of mm-hmm. what they wow. normally would have been paying him. And everybody was like, what is even happening here? What is this ninja move, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is also in the collective bargaining agreement that if a player is bought out of his contract, he is not allowed to re-sign with the same team for an entire
the same team that bought him out?
Same team that bought him out for an entire calendar year. So it was like, what shady hijinks are up here that
wow,
they cleared the cap space, got the player back, and somebody else is paying for the majority of it.
That is something.
That is something. Now, the NHL had to approve this, and apparently they went over it with a fine-tooth comb. Now, whether there is a backroom agreement, that a verbal thing with the understanding that, yes, you can have this really great goalie, but you have to take this player off our books, with the hopes that this is what they would do. Maybe Colorado indicated this is what they would do, and Washington's, I'm speculating, because I have no idea. Washington speculated that they could probably get him back. I don't know. Maybe it was a shock to Colorado. It was a shock to Washington they did that. I would doubt it, because they're all pretty good businessmen. But the NHL went over this and said it was on the up and up, and they got him back. So that was pretty clever.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So if you want more information on buyouts and how they work, if you go on to Cap Friendly, there is a section on buyouts. There's a CBA FAQ. There is a buyout FAQ. There's all sorts of really good information. So, you know, when the buyout period starts, and how the whole buyout thing works. But that's basically what it is. It is a tool used to clear some space in your books, maybe dump some dead wood. A lot of times you will find teams that have a lot of cap space, mostly because they suck. They have a lot of cap space, and they will take bad contracts onto their books something to be considered later, maybe a future draft pick or future something. So it's, you know, we'll help this team out by taking this player because we've got the room for it. We have enough money to pay them. But we're going to get something for it later. So yeah, the cap era, lots of shenanigans.
A lot of wheeling and dealing and math. There's an awful lot of math in hockey you wouldn't necessarily expect.
The spreadsheets, Erica. The spreadsheets.
Of course.
Love this stuff. I absolutely.
Well, speaking of stuff that you love, yes. Why don't you finish us out here with a hockey tidbit?
Oh, you know, my hockey tidbit is more of a hockey thing that I really love. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is, and I mentioned it earlier, the rookie games are upon us. And the rookie games, if you get a chance to go to a rookie game, it is so delightful.
Yes. Yes.
Because these are all the first-year players. They're like, this is their first time wearing their team that drafted them. It's the first time wearing their uniform. It's the first time playing, you know, in an official NHL game. And they just all look like baby deer on the ice, like in Bambi. Uh-huh. I mean, they're just reckless and playing with abandon and just joy. And it is, honestly, it is an incredibly fun to watch because they do still have something to prove. They've not, yep. The cuts have not yet been made at this point, usually when a rookie game happens. But it's delightful. I went to last year, the Flyers rookie game. I think they played the Islanders and it was in Philadelphia. This year it's in New York, so I'm not going to get a chance to go. But you know, they switched the goaltenders midway through, so both goaltenders had a chance to play. And honestly, I swear to God, when Carter Hart walked on the ice, like, grown men ovulated. I mean, it was like, it was just like, oh, the savior is there. But they all, you know, the kids, they have a little bit of a deer in the headlight look to them because usually they, yep, get to play in the big arena. A lot, mm-hmm, of fans are coming out to check it out. And, you know, teens make a big deal of the rookie game.
Yep.
And it's just, oh, it's just so sweet. It really is. Like we said about, they haven't had the fun trained out of them yet.
Yep. And they're playing for their lives.
They, like, really are. You see, yeah, some crazy stuff during rookie games because they know, yep, this is their shot. And they're,
except
just,
that it's also it. Interesting too to be like, where they haven't yet found the line between, I'm going to try so hard that I'm going to look, and I'm going to use the word reckless like you did, Deb, because that's a perfect word, that I'm just going to look reckless and know the coach is not going to choose you because you are trying too hard and being too reckless. But if you don't try hard enough, you're not going to make the team either. So mm-hmm. it's just, it's kind of, there's a fascinating mental calculus going on at the same time.
It really is. So if you live anywhere near an arena that is hosting a game, I would highly recommend it, because there's going to be a lot of those kids that are never going to make the NHL. There's some of them that may not even hang in the AHL. But some of those kids are the future superstars. And yep. to say you can, you know, I saw them when they mm-hmm. were just wet behind the ears and blinking in the bright lights, it's a really cool moment. So that's my hockey tidbit.
That is a fantastic hockey tidbit to close out the episode. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome.
So yes, thank you everybody for listening. You have been listening to Beginner's Puck. Remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you. Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.